Amen. And something happened in the camp. I got so thrilled. One day, I dressed up to come to church. And the Lord told me that I should change the dress and wear jeans and come to church. And I'm not too used to wearing jeans. Talk less of coming to stand in the church with jeans. I said, well, I didn't know what it is. To me, I was thinking God is just trying to tell me, look humble, look simple. Because that is what I want to aspire to be. I want to be to aspire to be as simple, as humble, as ordinary as possible. So I thought it's part of the training. Long time ago, until we went to the camp, and somebody stood up to tell me. He said that the previous day, that somebody told him, a sister or so, from maybe those people who came from the other old intermessage churches that are our members now, who know every quote of Brother Abraham. Now, Brother Abraham say, Brother Abraham say, Brother Abraham say, they know more about what Brother Abraham say than what the Bible say. Blah, 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 that they know no other scripture other than Brother Abraham say, Brother Abraham say, Brother Abraham say, Brother Abraham say, praise the Lord. Even if Brother Abraham is quoting the Bible, instead of them to quote the Bible, they will say, Brother Abraham say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because Brother Abraham says so. Therefore, Brother Abraham is the one that says it. Praise the Lord. He said that Brother Abraham said that we should not wear jeans. A Christian should not wear jeans. Amen. She said she was shocked the next day I wore jeans. So, it was then I understood that, so God was telling me to wear jeans because somebody is wrongly taught. Amen. And so, I wore the jeans to church. And in fact, for hearing that, from now on, I'll be wearing more jeans. And I had to reply. I said, sister, I also read the quote where William Branham was condemning those jeans that those people were wearing and coming to God's presence. But I have a picture of William Branham in my laptop wearing jeans up and down with a cap, cowboy cap. What does it mean, therefore? Since he said he condemned believers wearing other type of jeans, and now you see him wearing jeans, what it comes to you now is to think then, what did he mean by that? Can he say one thing and do another? No, it means you did not understand him. The same thing also. He said television. He said the angel told him not to keep television. He said if he has a shotgun, say he will blow that thing up. He said it is the devil's box. And he asked the church, he said, do you have the devil box in your house? He said he can't keep one. Because of it, there are intermessage churches that will never keep a television. If you keep a television, you are going to hell. I read it too. And I believed it until I was reading another message. And William Branham, I heard William Branham saying that he went and rented television to his house to watch a program. So I said, then they rent the devil box. Come watch television. Come watch program. Devil box. Another time, again, he traveled somewhere. The place they rented were furnished with a television. And then somebody was, they were watching, a Christian program was on the television. And I heard him, he was calling his daughters that they should come and see one choir that was singing and as worldly as anything. And he was telling them, see the people claiming to be Christians, see what they are doing. I said, now for inside television, in William Branham's house. So I know enough now to balance what did he mean? until I came across another quote. Question and answer. William Brown, did you say that television is of the devil? And he said, if television is of the devil, he said newspaper is of the devil, radio is of the devil. He was saying, it is not the box, it is the program. Then I understood what my prophet meant. Amen. And so, in my former church, I spent 5 years there. In the whole church, though we are not too many, maybe about 100+ members. But everybody, nobody had television there. Only 2 of us. And the pastor will come and preach on television. I know not me they talk to. Before he come down, I will send notes to him. I said, you have still not convinced me. I will keep my television. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because we walk by conviction. Why? You have to understand the spirit of the message. When I came out, therefore, all the nonsense going on, I decided to stay with the Bible as my guide and the prophet to this age as also my guide. I have the message of William Branham, sermon books, and I have my Bible, and that is the foundation of this ministry. Why all this long talk? Jesus Christ answered in Matthew 19. Have you not read in verse 4? It means it is already written. And what is written is written. It is written. For every aspect of your life, go back to the Word. Satan tried to tempt Jesus. He said, it is written. If you try to fight Satan with your own idea, you will fail. You fight him with, it is written. That, okay, so concerning divorce, what is it that is written? What, hallelujah, what is written is the perfect will of God. That is the perfect will of God. And now they are asking him, for any reason, can a man put away his wife? He said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That is, concerning divorce, God's perfect will is no divorce. No divorce, oh, no divorce. No divorce. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14 to verse 16. He said, God hated divorce. God hated put away. Putting away, to put away your wife. Church, to put away your wife, brother, to put away your wife, God hates it. Malachi says so, the prophet. God hates it. It is against the will of God for you to put away your wife. And when we say put away is an English word. And there are several ways of putting away your wife. Amen. Do you know you can delete your wife from your mind? You just live together like a neighbor. Good morning, Baba Junior. Mm-hmm. Where do you go chop? Anything. What did I do you now? I beg, you don't start. You have put her away. You can put her away from your bed. You can put her away from your budget. Your monthly budget. Shishi, you don't give your wife. You have put her away. God hates it. Don't put her away from your budget for the month. God hates it. And to throw her away from your house, that is the final one called divorce. Is the final stage of putting away. God hates it. It's in the Bible. Malachi chapter 2 says so. And Jesus himself said that what God has joined together, let nothing, let no man. Brother, don't put asunder. Don't send her away. Don't let anything influence you to send her away. No matter how she behaves, he said, don't send her away if she's your wife. That is God's perfect will. But let's read on. Verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? That is in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Moses actually gave a commandment that if for any reason you marry a wife and you see any uncleanness in her, you don't like her again, he said you should give her a writing of divorce. That is, put it in writing. I divorce you. The agreement I have with you, the marriage is broken. Go away. He said, give her a written evidence so that by that she can go and marry another one. Verse 8. He said unto them, I want you to note, who is the person that gave them that commandment? It was Moses, the messenger of the age. The great prophet of God was the one that gave that message. That commandment. Hallelujah. Matthew 19 verse 8 now. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered, permitted you to put away your wives. Everybody, the next statement, shall we go? But from the beginning, it was not so. That is another language of saying, but the perfect will of God is not like that. Yes, a situation can come up where a servant of God can use his wisdom to solve an existing problem. And because of the position he occupies, heaven will back it up. Yet, it will be for that momentary period, it cannot override the will of God. It cannot. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the beginning, it was not so. It was not so. And verse 9, he added, he said, if you do it like Moses told you to do, if you dare do it as Moses told you to do, he said, it is wrong. This is the way he put it. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, like Moses told you to do, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso married her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. And all adulterers will end up in hell. So you are not to walk. That's what Jesus is saying. You are not to walk by that permissive will that God permitted Moses in the wilderness journey. Now it is the time to establish God's perfect will. It was part of God's permissive will for your sins to be atoned. You will use an animal blood. But he had his perfect will that was coming up. And the perfect will come. The Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the innocent child of God, that was the blood that, and that is the only blood that can atone for the sins of any human being on earth. We are back to the original. We are back to the beginning. We are back to the perfect will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because sometimes we just look at the Old Testament. Take for instance, polygamy. It is wrong to marry more than one wife. It is wrong. For a believer, now that you are in Christ, you now know the truth. You cannot marry a second wife. Polygamy is contrary. It's against the will of God. But in the Old Testament, one man had 1,000 of them. David had so many. Hallelujah. Children of Israel, all of them, just pick as many as you like. Not one time did God rebuke anyone for marrying more than one wife. And do you know that there are some believers now that look at them, pick example from there, and tell them, David was known as a man after God's own heart. He married more than one wife. So why are you stopping me from marrying more than one wife? In the beginning, it was not so. Amen. The only time God rebuked David was when he killed Naboth and took his wife Bathsheba. And he sent the prophet to him, "You have so many." In fact, God said, "I gave you so many wives. This one has only one. Your offense is not that you married many wives. Your offense is that this one that has only one, you killed him and collected that his only one to add to your own." Amen. But now, you can't marry more than one wife. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because in the beginning, it was not so. And a very interesting story in the Bible that we learn the perfect will of God is in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we know the story. What was the story? The story is that Israel left Egypt. Israel left Egypt under the leadership of a prophet. A prophet. Under the leadership of a prophet. Hallelujah. They were moving in the wilderness, but as they were moving in the wilderness, they saw how the other nations around them, how they had kings, and how the kings, in portraying the royalty, beautiful to behold, and the king was always, in front, leading in the battle to encourage the remaining soldiers. But their own, thus said the Lord, every time, thus said the Lord, one man with a gold stick, they followed them. Thus said the Lord. One day, they said, "Samuel, we want a king." Praise God. We want a king. Samuel was troubled. Very, very troubled. He asked them, "What happened?" If you read that story, he was asking them, "Throughout, since I became your prophet, did I cheat anybody? Did I wrongly collect anybody? Did I collect anything wrongly, falsely from anybody? Have I done any evil against you? If you know, tell me." They say, "Samuel, you are a perfect gentleman. But we too, we want a king like others. We want a king." Samuel was so troubled and he was praying. God told Samuel, church, listen. God told Samuel. God did not tell Israel. It was Samuel he told. Discussion between God and Samuel. He said, "Samuel, it is not you they have rejected." He said, "It is me they have rejected. It is not me. It's not you they have rejected. It is I, their God, they have rejected." How? God's way of leading his people, he leads them by his word. And the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. God, surely we do nothing but what he revealed to his servants, the prophets. The office of a prophet. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13 or so. He said, "By a prophet did the Lord bring out Israel from Egypt, and by a prophet he did establish him." By a prophet. Praise the Lord. You need to know the importance of the office of a prophet. And when I say office of a prophet, I don't mean the fivefold ministry prophet. I mean the dispensational prophet. They are the voice of God to every generation. Jeremiah was the voice of God at that time. Isaiah was the voice of God at that time. Ezekiel was the voice of God at that time. Malachi was the voice of God at that time. One voice always at a time in a dispensation. Praise the Lord. Moses was God's voice at that time. Hallelujah. By a prophet. And the church of Jesus Christ is built on thus said the Lord. It started, the church in the Gentile church age, it started with the ministry of a prophet. Apostle Paul was a prophet. He was a prophet. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul was a prophet. When he said, in the latter times, perilous times shall come, he was prophesying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, in the latter times, he said, many shall depart from the faith. He was prophesying. He said, Christ will not come except there come a falling away first. He was prophesying. Paul was a prophet. But God did it that the beginning of the church age, in the Gentile church age, he started with a writing prophet. And he closed the age with a speaking prophet. The church started with a prophet. It will end with a prophet. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you turn down the voice of God. You turn down the ministry of a prophet. You turn down God in that age. That is the truth. That is the mystery that is going on now. The denominations turned down the ministry of William Marion Branham. They are confused because all through the generation, they were being led by kings. They were being led by kings. Their denominational leaders are kings. They are kings. Church, I wish I will use more time and explain this aspect. Praise the Lord. Just give me a few minutes. Hallelujah. Concerning God's perfect will, you have to catch it. You have to catch it. He told Samuel, God told Samuel, you are not the one they have rejected. I am the one they have rejected. Samuel, don't worry. Give them what they want. Go and tell them. What they want, I'll give you. But see how your king will look like. He will collect all your money in taxes. He will make all your children to be his slave. He will do this, he will do this, he will do this, he will do this. Just like the kings of the nations, Gentile nations that you want to copy from. That is how they will do it too. Is that thing not happening in the denominational setting today? Before you get the picture clearer, let me move a little forward. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Samuel was told by God to go to the house of Jesse. Am I correct? No, not house of Jesse. Eh? No. Was Saul from the house of Jesse? See, he told him where to go. Amen. Saul. The house of Kish, thank you. He told him where to go. And that he, God, will show him who he should anoint as the king of Israel. Samuel woke up and is on his way going to give them a king. Who told him to go and anoint somebody as a king? It was God. Am I correct? It was God. Samuel, where are you going? This is thus said the Lord. He brought Saul. Thus said the Lord. The Lord said, I shall anoint you king over Israel. And anointed him. And Saul is the king. Is it God that appointed Saul? Yes. Is it God that appointed Saul as the king of Israel? Yes. Saul will beat his chest. Touch not the Lord's anointed. Saul, the prophet of the age, was the one that ordained him, anointed him king. Under God, said the Lord. Yet, Samuel knew that is not God's perfect will. He is giving you your heart desire. Hallelujah. It is not God. He is not a king for God. He's a king for the people. God has no hand in it. Was it not in your name? I was casting out devils. He said, I didn't know you. But you are the one that anointed me. You are the one that anointed me. I didn't use chuchu. I went to the mountain crying day and night. And I saw when the angel came. Wow, from that day my eye opened. And yet you say, you don't know me. Saul, after Saul was removed as a king, God told him again, the prophet again, to go to the house of Jesse this time. Hallelujah. And the prophet was about to make a mistake on who would be the king. God stopped him. Not be this one. So it will look as if God's hand is in the selection and appointment of the king of Israel. Until David came. And he was anointed the king. David will tell you, he is anointed of the Lord. Is it not true? Yet, God is saying, Israel rejected him. He has his perfect will. His perfect will is to lead the people by the prophet. Church, spiritual Israel, God's perfect will is that he will lead us by the prophet. God's attributes will manifest his attributes to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know. See, the emphasis is that the attributes of God, were manifested in this age. What is the attribute? He raised a prophet again to lead his people in this age. Church, you reject the ministry of William Branham as God's prophet messenger. In this age, you are finished. You are in God's perfect will. No matter what anointing is flowing around you. There's God's perfect will in every aspect of our lives. We shall bring out some of them. But more importantly, the purpose of this message is for us to see that God's perfect will sometimes is awkward. That's where I will emphasize next Sunday. Job, his suffering was God's perfect will. That's why I say, God's perfect will sometimes is awkward. And you're unable to know that you are fulfilling a purpose. You are in a perfect will of God. You will not know, and you'll be suffering frustrations for nothing. But it is always to achieve something. Praise the Lord. Always to achieve something. That's the purpose of that message. To make it clear, somebody, why you are undergoing certain situations, certain conditions. You don't seem to understand. You know you are not a sinner. You are not a secret sinner. You are doing your best to serve the Lord. Yet, a condition is still remaining like that. I want to show you, it can also be the perfect will of God for you. Sometimes, the perfect will of God is awkward. And when you are in it, it's not easy to recognize that it's God's perfect will for you. And then, we shall look at the story of Joseph to see that The perfect will for him was what he was fulfilling when his brothers rejected him. The rejection was part of God's will for him. So that you will know why your own relations too rejected you and pushed you out. They are pushing you to your destiny. Praise the Lord. So that somebody too will be very careful in selecting his wife, in selecting her husband. Don't go and marry in God's permissive will. Marry in God's perfect will. Amen.